You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm your host, Jocelyn Swigger, and last summer I took time off practicing to have a baby. Maybe you can hear him. And now I'm trying to get my brain and my chops back in shape by learning the Chopin etudes. So this is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Monday, June 6th, and the big parenting news of the day is that Ben drank from a cup today. Not a sippy cup, like an actual little metal cup that he held with both his hands and shoved it up to his face and water went in his mouth, which is kind of a big milestone. So that's exciting, and it also goes along with him just crawling everywhere and getting into everything. So my idyllic days of practicing where he'll just entertain himself on the floor in mostly one place are not what's happening right now. He loves to come up and bang the piano. This is me, not him, but sort of like this. Like he'll stand on the floor and do that, which, you know, can work sometimes when I'm doing one hand. But what he really likes to do is crawl up on my knees and then bang the lid of the keys up and down. So that really doesn't make for very good practicing. But the reason that I wanted to mention the cup is that it reminded me of something, which is, I think it's a Zen koan, or maybe it's from Khalil Gibran or someplace. But there's a saying about how you have to empty your cup in order to fill it. And I think sometimes it's about happiness or sadness, but I think it's primarily about knowledge. And I'm thinking about it in terms of knowledge for me. And the reason I'm thinking about it is that I tend, when I'm learning something, as I am doing now, I tend to tell myself and other people too that I don't know anything about it and that I completely can't do it. So for example, I've been working on the F major scale descending this week. And I've been thinking to myself, wow, I really can't play an F major scale. But of course I can play an F major scale. I mean, you know, I've been able to do this for a really long time. I know I didn't go all the way to the top, but just like, yes, I can play an F major scale. But the thing that I can't do quite the way I want is get exactly this rotation refined the way that I want it. So I think that's probably both a strength and a weakness in the way that I learn and in the way that I sort of talk to myself about my learning. But I think that I need to watch out a little bit for being down on myself and telling myself I can't do things that actually I can do. So that's just something to think about. So I'm thinking about the empty cup and that maybe I need to realize that my cup actually is not completely empty, but just needs a little bit more filling up. Anyway, so the reason that I'm working on this F major scale is because I had this kind of epiphany. Here, this is going to be right back to what I was just talking about, which is that I can't play descending arpeggios where the fourth finger comes down on a black key. So what I mean by that is if I'm playing a B flat major arpeggio, an arpeggio is this, by the way. So basically we just take a chord and then kind of just spell it out, all the notes, instead of all at once. So if I'm starting with my second finger and then I go to my thumb, second finger, ring finger, and then to my thumb, second finger, ring finger, thumb, second finger, ring finger. The thumb is on a white key after a black key. That's four, the ring finger. So I go four, ring finger on a black key, and then this impossibly wide swath of space up to the D. It's like 15 miles away to here with the thumb. Ring finger to the thumb. And of course, what I need to do is get this turning business figured out so it doesn't feel quite so awkward and so far. So I can do it with the sort of old hopping way. Fine. But coming down, it doesn't feel quite trustworthy. Actually, that's already better from practicing. So that's not. So landing on this black key here feels scary. So I had this realization that these arpeggios are hard for me because they show up all over the place in these etudes. I'll show you as I get to them, but there's a big one in 25:11, there's a big one in 10:8, a couple ones, and then there's a big one in 10:4 that are just measures that I go, I can't play it. And so I thought maybe I should break it down to this arpeggio thing. And then when I thought, okay, well, going from my thumb on a white key down to my ring finger on a black key is hard. So maybe first I need to be looking at just going in a scale, going from my thumb on a white key to a black key. And that's what you have to do in F major, is you go thumb to ring finger to thumb to third finger, ring finger, ring finger. So it's much easier going up. So here's my F major scale I was talking about. And then coming down is where it gets tricky for me. So I'm just kind of showing off. I haven't actually been practicing it fast. I've been practicing it slowly. and really trying to be aware of this moment, and this moment, and this moment. Now, I've also been doing a little bit of chromatic practice, which is actually feeling pretty good. Here's in mirror image so that everything is symmetrical. This feels pretty good, so I haven't felt like I needed to do it too much, and so forth. But anyway, these arpeggios are going to come back, so that's just, this is the F major thing that I've been working on. So, I'm working on my scales. You know, Chopin said that he always started his students, or I guess his students said that he always started them with the right hand playing the B major scale, which is white key, black key, black key, white key, black key, black key, black key, white. So you have a white key to a black key to a black key, white key, and then three black keys. So basically you have all of the black keys in that scale. And one of the reasons that he gave for it was that it sets up, especially on these three black keys, that it sets the hand in a really nice neutral aligned position. But actually, now that I'm thinking about this business of suddenly F major being so hard for me with this going from the white key to the black key, another thing that's really nice about this B major scale is that you have black key and then the thumb comes to the white key and it's the very next one and it's really close and very easy to do that turn. And again, we have this black key to the very closest white key. So I actually feel like I'm getting a little bit of a window into Chopin's head as a teacher, because I hadn't thought before about what's easy about that scale being partly that the turning was easy there. He said that in the left hand, the easiest key, the easiest scale to start with was D flat. And it's actually geographically kind of the same, because you have all of the black keys and they fit nicely. But you have the black keys and then this moment where the thumb goes to the next black key, it's the closest possible one. And then the thumb goes to the closest possible black key. So that's my little epiphany about scales, is that that's another reason that Chopin thought those scales were easiest. Now, interestingly, he said that C major was the hardest. Which honestly, I totally don't understand, because for my money, especially right now, B flat is looking like it might be the hardest. Sorry, except actually, there we go. Because here, the black keys and the white key thumb after the black key is far from each other. So I haven't quite figured out yet why Chopin thought C major was harder than B flat. I don't know. Maybe someday I will. Anyway, I thought I'd go through these pieces just for fun from the back. So I'm going to start with 25 number 11. I'm not working super intensely on this yet. I've just been doing the first couple of measures to get a feel for it. This is the one I was actually bragging on Twitter that I can play the first two measures of this perfectly. And here's why. In fact, I'll even play you the first four measures for you. This is at tempo. That's the first two measures. And then after that, it kind of goes for like eight pages. No, not even like eight pages. It is eight pages. So then it does this thing, which I totally can't do at tempo yet, but I've been kind of working on it. So I've been thinking about these rotations. Basically, I'm just working on the ones that have that are sort of about rotation, and not even all of them right now, but I'm focusing in. So I'm thinking about this turning here, this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and so forth. And also thinking about this one, going up, 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 going up. So the idea is to really have that rotation be what's making the notes happen, instead of just finger, 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 which gets really tangly and I'm sure really tense. I haven't even played through this actually yet. I've just been kind of playing around with that. But I did want to show you, even though I'm just doing the first few measures of this, you can hear there's a lot of repetition. And then the second measure is exactly the same, an octave lower. And then it does it again. then it changes here. And now I haven't started really working this out. Now this is all white keys, so this feels pretty good. Of course, this will be a million times faster. Now here's this moment in this next measure. Now here, this is going, this is the thumb, and I'm about to play my fourth finger, the ring finger, on a black key. There it is. And then do it again, fourth finger. And it's hard. It just feels like if I do it with this turning way, it's really scary to get to that black key. Now if I just sort of do it the old hopping way, it's not as scary. But I think you can hear that it's kind of splatting down. So I'm trying to do my sort of empty cup thing where I'm trying to say, okay, even though I have a way that works to do it imperfectly and doing it the way that I'm trying to do it isn't quite working at all, I really want to try and get it so that it works in the way that I'm working on instead of just going the way that works for me and kind of accepting a sloppy, slightly uncomfortable status quo, which is what I think I've been doing a lot for a long time, maybe years. So again, that's sort of the empty cup thing, as I'm trying to let my cup be empty and just make it work. So I'm actually practicing this pretty slowly, which of course is not probably that thrilling to listen to. I should say that when I'm practicing slowly, I do feel like these motions are starting to feel more normal. I think I have a long way to go before they're fully ingrained, but they're starting to feel almost like what I'm automatically going to do instead of having to think about it. So it is working to take these few weeks and just really intensively work this way. Anyway, so I've just started to do this. I haven't even begun to look past the first page. This one I think is going to be quite challenging. I mean, you know, Rebecca Penny said that it was hard, and so when she tells me something's hard, I believe her. Anyway, that's just a little bit of a beginning with that. I don't have a sense yet what this is going to be like to play eventually, but I'm really, really far from that. Who knows, maybe by the end of the summer. Okay, so that's 25 number 11. That's called the Winter Wind Etude, by the way. Okay, I'm totally skipping the octaves before it. Just not even going to deal with it. I'm kind of skipping this one because it's got this rotation moment and then a bouncy moment. And since having the wrist bounce is something that I'm pretty comfortable with in my toolbox, I want to leave that out for now. I'm trying to sort of not use the other tools that I have. Like Rebecca Penny said that I should avoid using my arm because I tend to use my arm to the exclusion of everything else. So this one I'm not really doing much because I think that I need to just work on that and not that. I'll come back to it. I'm pretty much ignoring it for now. Okay, I'm ignoring the sixths, 25 number 8, completely ignoring it. I'm also ignoring the cello etude, even though it's really beautiful, and I'm also ignoring the thirds etude, even though that's really beautiful. I'll get to all those later. Okay, but I did want to talk about 10 number 5. So I just skipped like half of these etudes in the second set. Okay, so starting with the B section, this is this. I'm sort of making this up instead of looking at the music. There we go. One of the things that's working really nicely here, you know, this is the thing that repeats, and then the hand goes up to the next position, to the next one, is instead of going, thinking about this, and having this be the extra note, because these two notes happen at the same time, if I do this way, my hand goes to the right, and then comes back to the middle. But if I do it this way, it goes all the way to the right, and then comes back to neutral, goes to the right, and goes back. Do you see? So, well, you probably don't see because I'm just playing and I'm not making a little video. I don't think you need a little video for this. Anyway, my hand goes to the right, to the right, to the right. And this pinky note becomes just kind of a little thing that happens to be along the way instead of a main motion by itself. So the overall hand motion is very much like this. Instead of, this feels really busy and kind of scary, but this feels pretty good. So this is something, you know, I worked on this piece in college, and I remember really, really having trouble with this section and thinking it was just really, really, really hard. And I think this is probably going to unlock that. So I haven't been doing it much faster than that, and I haven't been doing much more than that first measure. But I think that's going to be sort of the key to this section, which will be really nice. Similarly, the beginning of this thing is, I haven't really played this since college, so I don't have the left hand at all. Or the right hand. Anyway, let me just show you the right hand. Okay, so similarly, we have two notes and then one note. Two notes, 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 one note. You get the pattern. Now, I haven't been doing too much more than that. Let me show you how this is working. So if I think about it as being... the pinky feels really far away and kind of scary, but if I think of the pinky as being the main action, suddenly this is much easier. I'm probably going to need to practice it both ways, but for now, this is feeling like it might really be the key. One of the things he does in this piece that's kind of interesting that will probably prove to be fairly challenging, but I think is part of what the piece is about, is he changes, he pretty much has these wrong note, right note, wrong note, right note, wrong note, right note all over the place, but he keeps changing the rhythms. So the first one, I'll play just the first couple measures and try and get the left hand right. He has the left hand rolled. And then he does a little bit more of that. And then, instead of having the left hand be rolled, he does... So we have rotation in the left hand, too. Actually, this would probably be a better place to start. It does that. And then later he does... having them all be the same... meaning the rhythm is the same... So instead of, he's doing even eighth notes. And then here's another even eighth notes place. So I've been looking at these a little bit, but mostly trying to get the sense of this so that the rotation is happening. To here, to here, to here, to here, to here. So kind of working on that a little bit, just a few bars here and there. Okay, so backing up, I'm ignoring number four for now. Not doing a whole lot with number three, but this one, just the first couple of measures. Whoops, there we go. So this is one where my thumb, both of my thumbs, completely just want to go up in the air. So I want to play this, and then, so these are my two thumb notes. So as soon as those notes are done, I just want to go up in the air. And that's completely not what I should do. So this is where, remember when I was being all obsessive about my thumbs a couple weeks ago, which I still kind of am? This is a really good place for me to keep my thumbs curved and kind of connected to everything else. I'm not going to play much more than that because I need to memorize this so that I can look at my hands and not at the music. But anyway, you get the idea. So that when I go all the way up to here, my thumbs don't fly up. That's kind of the main thing to look at for this. I've started looking at the first couple of measures of 25 number two. I played this, gosh, it was either in high school or junior high school. I was really young. And I honestly don't remember. Like, I think I remember feeling like I could do it, but I can't swear that I did it without hurting, and I certainly can't swear that I did it well. So I feel like I just don't remember what my experience was like with this piece before. Anyway, this one goes really, really, really super fast. I'm totally not playing it fast yet. I'm going to just show you the right hand. I'm rushing a little bit because it's kind of fun. And then it stays. Okay, then it repeats. So this one, this is where Chopin's doing a thing that he loves to do, where he has a group of three, and a group of three, and a group of three, and a group of three. They're all groups of three. Group three, 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 three. You get the idea? But the physical gesture is actually two. We have this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. So what I need to work on is make sure that I get all of those little turnings. This is another one where my thumb would really like to hitchhike. I have to say, I think that's quite a bit better than it would have been a couple of weeks ago, actually. Now, meanwhile, there's this cool thing going on the left hand that I'm just honestly not really dealing with yet. Which there ends up being this cool big scale 3-against-2 thing, so that if I just play the first of every three in the right hand, I'm making up the notes. I haven't practiced this way, obviously, yet. Anyway, I don't know if you can hear. Let me just play the left hand and I'll make up the right hand, which I was doing, but now I'm intentionally making up the right hand. So can you hear how they're not quite together? So let's see if I can do the very beginning. It's going to be a little bit like that. And honestly, when it goes fast, 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 the 2-against-3, I think I remember from when I did it, and I think I've seen other when my students have done it, I feel like it's going to take care of itself. Actually, I don't think I need to put that much energy into the 3-against-2. I think it will be fine. Anyway, I think this is going to actually feel pretty good. But I need to make sure that I practice it slowly and with exactly the motions that I want. Instead of just... You know, I get really impatient. You can probably tell. And of course I want to play, you know, this instead of this. But I'm trying to mostly do this for now. So now I'm playing kind of fast, but I'm trying to be really clear about my motions. Anyway, this one I'm also just doing the first few measures of, but I think this has the potential to feel pretty good and to be really helpful with all those little twists and turns. Okay, 25 number one. This I also did in high school. This is one that's all about arm, but right now it's all about rotation, so I'm not using my arm. So my thumbs totally want to hitchhike. And so I need to work on that. So I'm mostly just doing the first few bars of this one as well. It's actually fairly easy, the first couple of bars, so that's kind of cheating. This is fine, because it's not that far apart yet. This is also fine. It's about to get a little bit interesting here. Yeah, my thumbs totally want to go up in the air. So this is where I need to pay attention to my physical mechanism. Here. So again, I'm just doing this kind of slowly a couple times. I haven't really dug into this one yet. Now here, in this last bar on the first page, I'm actually going to do a cheat that I did in high school, which is where I switch the thumbs in the right and the left hand. Thank you. not there, and not here, but here. So that instead of crossing each other, they see the right hand would have been written. And instead I'm playing. And the left hand would have been. But instead I'm playing. So together it's. And nobody needs to know that I didn't do that difficult thumb crossing there. Is that cheating? Yes, it's cheating. I feel okay about it. Anyway, just doing a little bit with those. 10-12 I've been looking at a bit. Obviously, this is mostly the left hand. I'm trying to have the rotation kind of control everything. These moments here. This is where the fourth finger does the transition. Here's the one. These are where I'm working on the rotation. No. You know, I'm not really ready to play this at tempo if I'm going to be serious about changing my motions. So this one, I'm trying to really get this right. I talked a couple weeks ago about how I was doing, you know, different so that I can really get this feeling and make this feel. So this I want to feel as much as possible like this. So I'm working on that. I don't have too much that's thrilling to tell you about that, but that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm kind of ignoring number 11 and number 10 for now. I'm just not doing them right now. I will. I think actually once I get a 25 number 5 with this stuff, then I think is when I should really get into this. That actually felt pretty good what I just did, even though I haven't been practicing this. You know, the rotation kind of happens pretty naturally here, or maybe it's just because I've been thinking about it. Maybe I'm getting better at this stuff. Anyway, I'm not doing a lot with 10-10 and 10-11 right now. Haven't been doing a whole lot with 10 number 9. I think I was already doing the rotation pretty well because there's just not any other way to do it. But I can make sure that my thumbs don't go crazy. But I haven't been working on it a ton. 10 number 8 I have been looking at. This I've been doing some slow work. And also, of course, I've been getting impatient and playing it fast. This moment. This is a moment where the thumb is on a white key and I have to go to a black key. White key to a black key. This is actually this moment and a moment I'm about to show you is why I kind of got obsessed with my arpeggios and my F major scale because of coming from the white key to that B flat. I was just feeling awful. So here, I need to work this moment out. And then the one that's really been killing me is this fanfare moment. So here I have white key. Thumb is on playing on that white key, and I've got my ring finger here. So this moment from the thumb to the ring finger, they just feel like they're 15 miles apart. Ah! Now, the way I was doing it before was kind of the hopping way. But actually, you know, that doesn't feel great either. So I think I really need to try this new turning way, which I can't do yet. So this moment is partly why I had a little bit of a, oh my God, I have to practice the F major scale crisis. And of course, what I need to do is actually do it slowly and make sure that the motion works the way I want it to. And I don't quite have it yet. And honestly, every time I try to practice it, I usually go sort of devolve into the arpeggio practice and the F major scale because it's just not quite there. But I think if I can work on the F major scale, I'm hoping they'll have an epiphany this week. Let me put my order into the universe for an epiphany this week about that, please. Okay, so that's what's going on with 10 number 8. Skipping the couple ones before that for now. Let me go to 10 number 5. In 10 number 5, I wanted actually to talk about, you know, I was making such a big deal about this Polish edition I was playing from, and then Rebecca Penny said, you know, you really need to play from either the Mikuli or the Paderewski edition. So I switched to the Mikuli edition, and I have some thoughts about that. One is that there are some fingerings in here that probably are also in the Polish edition that I just basically I'm changing my fingers again, my fingerings again in the first two measures. I think I've changed my fingerings like 15 times since I started working on this time around, which is a little frustrating, but I'm changing them again. So if you're a pianist and you're listening, if you're not a pianist, don't worry about the numbers. I'm not going to walk you through them, but basically I'm going 3, 5, 1, 4, 2, 4, 1, 5, 2, 3, 1, 4, 2, 4, 1, 4, 2, 4, 1, 5, 2, 3, 1, 3, 1, 5, 2, 5, and then it's sort of what you would think. Now, also, another thing in this, in the Polish edition, I don't know if you remember, it was a few weeks ago. It was actually quite a while ago. I was making a big deal about how in the Polish edition, he had this note as an E flat instead of a D flat. And I kind of looked on YouTube and tried to find what the old pianists were playing. And it was kind of hard to tell because it moves by so fast. But Mikuli has the D flat. And I've been thinking about this, that the whole idea that we want to be as true to the composer's intention as we possibly can. Yes, of course we do. But in the absence of the composer's actual perfect intentions, and especially since Chopin's art texts are a little bit murky because one of his students had handwriting really similar to his, I've talked about that before, there is an aural tradition in these pieces. And if people have been mostly playing out of the Paderewski and the Mikuli editions for, you know, a couple hundred years, a really long time. You know, these pieces sort of have a life of their own in the collective sort of aural consciousness. So what I mean by that is, you know, these notes that were a little bit different in the Polish edition are not necessarily very important notes, right? I mean, it's kind of hard to tell the difference between that, which is the Polish version, and this, which is the Mikuli version. But there's a teeny difference. And if you've practiced the piece and if you know the piece really well, you're probably going to have a small sense that something's a little bit off about it if you're listening and if I play the Polish version. And I think the best analogy I can give you of that is if I sing, London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down, London Bridge is falling down, my fair lady. So there was one wrong note and it wasn't really an important note. I did falling down instead of falling down. But it might make you just go, oh, that's a little bit off. That's a little bit strange. And I don't want people listening to me play this music because, of course, I'm learning these pieces to play them as music, not just to remake my technique, right? I don't want people to have that moment of, oh, that's not quite right. And this is the thing that I'm really feeling kind of negative about this Polish edition now. It's not that just that note was there, but that there was no mention in it that note was controversial. The reason that I knew the note was controversial is because I'd worked on the piece before and I thought, is that right? But there's another one I'll get to. You know what? There's another one in 10 number 4. I'll get to that in a minute, which I didn't know because I hadn't worked on the piece before. And so it's a little, anyway, so now I have to unlearn something that I learned. And I kind of feel like, you know, if he's going to do something that's so different from this accepted standard practice, I think that warrants an asterisk. So I'm feeling a little angry at my absence of an asterisk. But I've switched to the Mikuli edition now, so hopefully all will be well. Anyway, I'm working on changing my fingering again. Let me try that again. And the reason that I'm doing that is that this first part feels great. And this part almost always feels kind of scary. And I think I can't actually use the same fingering that I was using. That was pretty good. Now, if I do this with rotation, I don't know if you can hear the difference. Here's without. It's kind of clattery. And here's with. You might not hear much of a difference. But one of the things that's going to make a huge difference is by the end of the piece, either my arms will feel fine or they'll hurt. And they were hurting a little bit before. I was getting a little tired. So it's totally going to be worth it to do that. Don't have a huge amount more to tell you about that. But I'm just, you know, slowing this one down again and trying to make it work. And I think it'll get there. My concentration has been reasonably good trying to work on what I'm working on. Okay, so 10-4, let me show you this note that I'm mad about. This is on the second page, the measure right before the key change. So the right hand, as written, is... Now McCooley writes... Let me play the McCooley version again, those last four notes. The Polish edition does. So see, it's not a huge, huge difference. It's just like that little note that I did in London Bridge. But I learned it wrong. So now I have to unlearn it. So that's frustrating. So, sorry, there we go. It's not, like I said, not a huge deal. But it's a slight difference. So I'm going to have to put a lot of energy into kind of rewiring that for myself. This one, I've been paying a lot of attention to not having my thumbs fly away. And it's feeling pretty good most of the time. The left hand that I just played is feeling a lot better. That. Here's another one of those places where the thumb's on a white key. I got to come down to a black key with my fourth finger. This is another place that's been driving me crazy to get right. So I've been spending a lot of time on this left-hand motion. This, making sure that this all works. It's coming. I mean, when I just played it now, it was pretty clean. So I'm working on this stuff. This is another moment where I usually devolve into practicing my F major scale. That wasn't quite the motion that I want, even though the notes were right. So that, I just found my wrong note on the next page a couple days ago, so I barely started working on that, but that's something that's in there that I need to fix. I'm also working on changing, Rebecca Penny's gave me a couple of shifts of what to play in what hand. So I'm working on putting those in. They're not in there yet. This is four bars before the key change, now two before. So this moment is what's different. So this is taking all of the notes that aren't the little notes in the left hand. There's that note. And then here, I just don't have that quite put in there, but I think it's going to work really nicely when I have it. So that's what's going on with that. I'm ignoring number three. To number two, I'm mostly practicing the little notes. And I've just been doing probably most of the first few bars like that. Haven't been doing much with the chords, just mostly the notes by themselves. And I'm really trying to have the turning of the hand be what makes the finger go to the right place instead of having the fingers sort of travel on their own. So then the only other one is 10 number one, which honestly I'm not doing much with. I'll do just the first few bars, try to get my thumb not to go everywhere. And I'm mostly just doing this slowly. In the morning, like Chopin said. Trying to get that rotation in there. So I think I'm going to keep needing to practice like I've been doing, sort of slowly and really super deliberately for for the foreseeable future, definitely for the next couple of weeks. I'm definitely feeling like it's getting a little bit better. I think it's bearing fruit. And I think that it's going to be totally worth it. So that is good. I hear Ben. It's time to go. So that's it. Thank you for being my practice buddy. Play It Again Swig is produced in my living room. You can leave comments or questions, which I would love, and find out more at playitagainswig.com.